have you ever gone like to try on shoes before? And they're like, and you have this size. They're like, oh, no, but we have it in the back. You know, or you're at a restaurant or you're at the grocery store and you're like, hey, do you have any bananas? And it's like, well, there's more in the back. I'll go get them out. And she reminded me that our God is a God who says there's more in the back. Like, he's good at first of all, surprising us, hearing us, being with us, but also filling our empty hands with good things. So there's always more in the back. And I think faith allows me to slow down, to walk a little slower, to believe that life is my friend, for me to be here, and to believe that there is more in the back, that I am not forgotten, that I'm not alone, that I am not just floating through this life, but that I am seen and known.
Hi, everyone. Welcome back to the Purple Stars podcast. My name is Sarah. I'm your host. And I am certain today's guest will fill your hearts with hope and inspiration. He's an author, poet, and speaker. He has such a kind heart and is not afraid to dive into the messy parts of life. Please welcome Tana Olson.
Hello. It's good to be here.
I'm so excited to have you on the show. As I said earlier, I have been following you on Instagram for, I don't know for how long, but I remember the very first post I saw, like, you had all these handwritten notes, and yeah. I was like, wow, that's so nice. Not many people write with their hands anymore, you know, like everyone types. And I'm just such a big fan of handwritten cards, handwritten notes. So that was the very first visual that caught my attention. And then obviously everything, like your words, just so much depth. And especially during COVID, I was following you even more intensively because it was giving me hope. It was giving me comfort. So I am very glad you're on the show and you're going to share your hope with our Purple Stars family.
Oh, I'm excited to be here. Yeah. Thanks for saying that.
Tanner, for those in your audience who don't know you yet, could you please share your journey? And I know it's probably a really long one, but also I am, despite like following you, I am so curious what made Tanner Tanner of today.
Oh, that's a loaded question. We could be here for about an hour to answer that. I'll give you the I guess the brief rundown. Maybe we start with where I'm at now. Like, now I'm an author, a poet, a speaker. So I've got a couple of books out, and I travel around the country sharing poetry, telling stories, offering hope at churches and schools and coffee shops and really wherever. But I never thought this is what I would be doing. I didn't think that I was going to be a writer. Like, growing up, I loved basketball and I loved music. But my dream of being in the NBA didn't really work out. When you stop growing at 5'10" and you have terrible knees, it's not really a great combination for playing in the NBA. But I loved basketball. And then I also loved music. And so I thought, well, if I can't play basketball, maybe I could be in a band. But I can't sing and I can't figure out how to play music. I don't have rhythm. Can't even spell it half the time. And so I was like, but I was so drawn to the way that music made me feel. And I loved the way that basketball made me come alive. And so I wanted to find something where I could have a little bit of basketball, but also a little bit of music. And for me, that just kind of landed on writing, on poetry. So throughout high school, throughout college, I would just write. I would just sit down and write and write and write. And I never thought anything would come of it. After college, I worked a couple of different jobs. I worked coffee shops, worked at churches, worked at camps. But the entire time I found myself digging deeper, looking inside, asking questions, writing through things. And then I decided, you know, maybe I'll just start sharing poetry on stage. And so I started doing that. And let me tell you, the early stuff that I wrote was so bad. It wasn't even close to good. It was terrible. but I always tell students that, like, if you're willing to be bad at something, you might just become good at it, or you might just become comfortable with your style or what it is that you're trying to share with the world. And so I just kept at it. So like 2013, I started writing, sharing, creating. started a blog, started recording poetry. And from there, I mean, that's kind of where it all started. And then I just been working, writing, creating, traveling, sharing, and trying to offer a little bit of hope into a world, share a little bit of light in the darkness. And it's crazy that this is my real job. Every day I wake up and I'm like, I do not know how this is my job. Like, how do I get to do this? But I'm really thankful, and I don't want to waste the opportunity to share something good with the world.
Two things that really touched my heart. One, I'm so happy you mentioned be willing to be bad at something. Mm-hmm. Because so many people have this, they really want what you have, but they're not willing to put in the work.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, and they're like, they don't want to be an amateur, whether it's for a hobby or, mm-hmm. or something professional, they're sure. just embarrassed to not be good at it. They also mm-hmm. don't want to grind. They don't want to like go through the challenges. So yeah. Also, you know, fear of failure, fear of success. So many components come with that. Mm-hmm. And I'm happy you mentioned that, because it's a reality check. You know, like mm-hmm. I think we can all be who we want to be. Of course, as you said, like, you know, if you stop growing or if you can't think, obviously that doesn't work.
Not going to work out too well.
But anything else, if it's possible.
Yeah.
I think if we put in the work and if we put in the belief in ourselves and also the patience, I think that's a big part as well. Like we'll always get there. And mm-hmm. I really loved how you, like your eyes lit up when you said, oh, I'm so grateful for this. And it's such a great reminder that's what life wants us to feel like. Mm-hmm. Because I think a lot of people get the impression, you know, everyone around me doesn't like their job. Like they mm-hmm. dread when Monday comes around. They're waiting for the weekends, for the vacation, for Christmas. So if everyone around me has that feeling, that's probably how life is supposed to be. And I want this to be a reminder for anyone out there. We are born to enjoy life and mm-hmm. our professional life, our personal life. So Tanner, I'm just so glad you brought that up.
Yeah, I believe it's one of those things that I believe, but it's also a difficult thing to live out, like to enjoy it all, because it is. I mean, it's full of ups and downs and darkness and uncertainties. But like, you know, at the end of it, like I want to enjoy this life, this gift that I've been given. And I think for me, the way that I want to enjoy it is by offering a little bit of hope to the world through writing and poetry and storytelling and all that kind of stuff. But yeah, I think to get to where you want to be, it does take a lot of patience, a lot of trust, and you just got to go slow. When I'm at schools and I talk with kids, they're like, you know, how did you, you know, I want to do what you're doing. How do I get there? And I'm like, well, it's like the difference between making brisket and heating up a burrito in the microwave. Like you can just try to go fast, but like this is like a slow cook kind of life. It's gonna mm-hmm. and it's gonna be better when you take your time with it and you let everything cook. Yeah, that's what I think.
I love the analogy. That's so good. It's so good. And you shared a poem which is, I think, just so fitting for continuing our conversation. And it's, don't skip to the end, sit with what is and continue to let the light pour in. Tanner, mm-hmm. I'm wondering, what is the story behind the poem? And also, how do you think this message can resonate with people who are drawn to shortcuts and looking for quick fixes? And as a poet, I'm also wondering, like, why do you think people tend to be afraid of walking the path and also sitting with what is? And because you shared on one of your podcasts, you love to observe and you love to think about things. So that's why I'm wondering, okay, I'm sure you have thought about this so much. So what is your take on that?
Well, You know, I don't necessarily remember writing that particular poem. I think when you write so much, you're just kind of like, it all kind of just kind of runs together. And so for me, I'm like, well, yes, I wrote that at some point. I do think that I wrote that, or at least something along the lines. When I read that back, what I think of is seeing other people be where I want to be in life. Right? Like whether that's they're in the job that I want to have, the position, the whatever it may be. But to remind myself to don't skip to the like what is not bad. Like where you are may not be where you want to be, but where you are is where you're supposed to be. And so if we can just trust like God's going to get us to where he's going to get us and believe that and continue to admire and see the good gifts that he's placed in front of us. Cause like, it's there, like goodness is all around us. Mercy is with us. Like there are good things here. And so to sit with it and to trust that good is on the way. I think it's hard to not be where you want to be. It's hard to sit in the dirt when you're ready to break through and enjoy the sunlight. But there's a process to it all. And I'm learning that the process is not a punishment. It's just how life goes. And life doesn't, as we all know, life doesn't always go the way that we think it's going to go or the way that we want it to go. But it still goes and we go on, and we can go on by sitting with what is and looking for the light as it continues to pour in.
The process is not a punishment. So good what you just said. I think if we start to be more comfortable with the uncomfortable, it really increases our level of happiness and joy and gratitude and connection and just everything in life. If we don't want to get rid of it, and also if we come to the acceptance, this is part of life. And if I want to shut down or shut out the uncomfortable parts, the pain and the suffering, I'm shutting out in my entire life. Then I'm just existing and not alive anymore.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, that's good. It's, but I, you know, I think about those people who they're trying everything that they can to not be where they are, and yet they still feel stuck. Or it's the couple who just can't seem to get pregnant, or the person who just wants to be married, but they just can't find the right person. You know, and so I think when I'm writing, I'm thinking about all these different people and these situations and these scenarios. And so like I don't want my words to come across as like, I don't see you, but I see you so much that here is this invitation that I think is true for all of us, right? To don't skip to the end, but sit with what is. And it's so hard to sit with what is when what is not what you want life to be. But there's something in it for us, whether to learn from or to help us grow, to strengthen us as we step into what is unknown.
What does life look like for you when you're not sitting with what is? And what helps you to move from not sitting with it to sitting with it?
I'm good. One of the things I'm really good at, I don't want to brag on your podcast, but I will, is I'm really good at staying distracted, of not, I'm right. I can watch as much TV. I'm so good at TV. I'm so good at sitting. I'm so good at not being healthy. But I think for me, what it looks like is, I need the silence. I need the solitude. I need to step away from screens and give myself like a place to breathe and be, and to wrestle with the hard stuff. I mean, this is like, it's very, I think it's pretty biblical, but it's also difficult. But it's also refreshing, like to be able to step away, to turn off the noise and to go sit with whatever hum is happening inside of your head. And so I, you know, for me, I try to do that when I drive, like when I'm driving, there's no music on in the car. Usually, like I am just sitting, like, I can't tell you the last time, and I know I'm on a podcast right now, but I can't tell you the last time that I like sat down and listened to a podcast, because the silence, the time of solitude is just so precious and I want to enjoy it. I don't think we need to be always consuming and taking information in or clicking on the next thing or looking forward. Like, what if we just took some time to look back or to look inside or to sit still with our hands open, ready to receive whatever's coming our way? Does that answer the question? I don't know. Then I started rambling.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I shared on another podcast that Paulo Coelho, like I read in one of his books, and I can only rephrase in my own words, that we are never disconnected. We are merely distracted.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I think part of life is figuring out what are my own personal ways of distraction. Like you mentioned, you know, like TV and things like that. Everyone has their way of distraction. And I think it's so good to find those out. Because sometimes we have, like, let's say 5-6 different ways of distraction. And if you only have one, things might still flow. But if you add the other one, then like it gets already like a little rusty. So I think it's good to have a list of knowing. For me, for example, I know distraction can be a little bit done too much suddenly on social media. You know, I'm there like to do my work, but then suddenly I'm like, oh, this reel is great. And this reel. And then I'm like, oh, I want to check out their book. So it goes like from one thing to the other. And then like another distraction for me is, I see it is when I don't cook enough for myself. Mm. Like it's a way of like, you know, like I'm so busy with everything else that I don't take the time to actually nourish myself. So I have like all these little and bigger things. And then I also know, okay, when I am connected, like I pray, I take my breaths. When I'm in the supermarket waiting, I'm not taking up my phone. I'm just observing. When I'm like at the traffic light, I don't take up my phone. I'm just saying a little gratitude prayer. So I feel like it sounds like so cliche, but it's those little things that make such a big difference.
The little things are the big things. I'm with you too. Like when I don't get my phone out or when I leave, have you ever just like left your phone behind? It's like you should get an award every time you leave your phone behind. You should get an award because like you're just like, nope, I'm on to the next. For me, like my phone is the biggest distraction because there's a lot of good things on there and there are a lot of really bad things too. But like, I mean, that's how that is one of the ways that I stay connected with friends and family, but it is also a way that disconnects me from my friends and family. And so knowing like my limits or my little ticks or whatever it may be, I think we just have to be, you're very good at this, is to be honest with ourselves, take an inventory and say, this is when I'm healthy. This is when I'm unhealthy, or this is when I'm happy. And this is why I'm happy. And I think for me, it comes down to like, you know, I was on my phone, I think it was the other night. And I was just like, I threw it across the room, like onto the couch because I needed it later. But like, I just tossed it. Cause I was like, this isn't living. And I was like, I'm not living right now. I'm just like watching somebody cook and then dance and then dance and cook. And it's not like, I don't know what are we doing with the internet? So I just kind of got fed up with that and was like, this isn't living, man. I agree with you.
Yeah, and I also think in order to do this inventory, we got our, enough to put it in your words, walk a little slower. I want to like mention your podcast and your book named with that title. And first of all, how good is the title? That's one thing I want to say. Thanks. And then I'm wondering, how did life invite you to walk a little slower before you then extended that invitation to others?
That's a fantastic question. And you know it's a good question because I had to say that it was a good question, especially like on podcasts. It's really just how we create, we say something is a good question so that we can think in our heads before we give the answer. So there's a couple of reasons why I named it Walk a Little Slower. Well, to be honest, like that wasn't the original title of the book. The original title of the book was something that I was excited about, and I shared it with some friends, and they were like, that is not a good title. I wanted to name it From Under the Camphor Tree, which is a poem in the book. One of my favorites that I like from, and they were like, that's not a great title. And then I was like, well, what about Walk a Little Slower? And they're like, that's a much better title. After a while, I was like, okay, that's what I want. But I think I was afraid to title it Walk a Little Slower because it would be this constant reminder for me to actually do the thing that I know I'm supposed to do or the way that I believe life is to be lived. I'm very good, as you can maybe tell from that last sentence, is just talking fast, of going on to the next thing, of kind of skipping ahead. So I write a lot of the things that I need to hear. I need to be reminded of the truth. And for me, like, you know, those four words, walk a little slower, like I see them every single day. Like this book, like, I mean, I have copies sitting like right here. I send out copies every day. I get to see those four words. And so it's this constant reminder for me to walk a little slower. I was really like throughout high school, college, and even the years after college, I was always ready to just move on to the next thing. I think part of me was afraid to sit with what is, and I wanted to just kind of jump ahead, look around the corner, see what's coming ahead. I wanted to live fast, and I wanted to live without a real faith and without trusting that everything would be okay. Like I needed to see what was around the corner for myself to know that everything was okay, rather than just believing that everything was going to be okay. And so those years, like the last 5 or 6 years, I became like a full-time poet and writer in 2019. And then this book came out in, I think, 2021. And it took a couple of years to kind of land on it and to learn to walk a little slower, to actually give myself the grace to walk a little slower. To allow myself to trust that God was actually with me every step of the way, and that things were going to be all right. And so now when I share this with people, like, you know, it's okay to walk a little slower. And people are like, I don't like doing it. It's like, well, I don't think anybody likes doing it, but I think it's a good thing for us to do. Yeah.
You mentioned, you know, like we rush for life because we want the certainty that things are fine, or we rush for life because we don't think that things are fine. Mm-hmm. And it's so great to know that for the audience, because whenever I see myself rushing, other than I do really need to rush because I'm late, like time-wise, that's a whole other story. But if I'm like unnecessarily rushing myself, I'm like, mm-hmm. okay, I gotta do this, and like, okay, and then like figuring things out. And I also see this with a lot of people that journal, for example, or meditate. Mm-hmm. They're doing this to get a guarantee and a certainty and answers. And like, whenever I see myself holding on to things and like wanting this guarantee and certainty, like I try to open my hands and I'm like, okay, let go so I can receive what God really wants me to receive. Because if I'm like, you know, like have the reins really tied, there's nothing I can receive. Like it mm-hmm. will like fall into my head. It will be a little difficult. And so I really like this mantra, walk a little slower. My mantra is, life is my friend.
Oh, I like that too.
And similar to what you said, oh, people say like, oh, I don't like to walk a little slower. To me, they say, no, how can I believe that if like right now things are not good? Yeah. And then I explain, like, it doesn't mean that life is always good. Mm-hmm. It means life is your friend also when things get tough.
Mm.
Like life yeah. provides you with the resilience, the gratitude, with the right people, the right podcast, the right poem, whatever your heart, your mind, your spirit and soul need to go get through the darkness and see mm-hmm. the light again and believe in the light till you see it. So yeah, I think it's great to have a personal mantra just to repeat yeah. it throughout the day, whatever is mm-hmm. happening.
My other mantra, I think walk a little slower is one. And the other one that I often say is that I'm just happy to be here. And it's true. You know, some days I wake up and I'm just happy to be here. And then sometimes I'm just the first word and I'm just the last word where I'm just kind of here. I'm just here. Mm-hmm. But kind of similar to what you're, you know, life is my friend. Like there are days where like life is, you know, this, it's just like amazing. Like the sun mm-hmm. is shining. People are kind. The internet correctly connects, right? Like it's just a great day. Nothing goes wrong. Mm-hmm. And you're just happy to be here. And then there's those days where the internet doesn't connect and you need it to, and your back just hurts and people aren't nice to you and you're not nice to yourself and it's just cloudy and gloomy and you're just kind of here. But the reminder is, you know, like I am here and I get to enjoy this gift of life. So I am just happy to be here, even if I am just here.
It's so beautiful how you have two little versions of the mantra to, you know, when it's easy to say that day, I'm happy to be here. And as you mentioned, some days it's more difficult, especially when life throws all sorts of things at us. And even more so when it's like really heartbreaking things.
Yeah.
So it's good to have this, okay, I'm here. And I also see this like God saying, I'm here.
True. Yeah.
Yeah.
That, yeah, you can't get away from that. Like where you are is right where he is. And that is a good place to be.
Absolutely. This brings me to my next question. You might not remember that either, that you wrote that. That's hilarious. Two things. Life is not a puzzle to solve, but a gift to enjoy. So very matching to what you just said. Mm-hmm. And then the other one is, in the midst of uncertainty and unknown, there already and not yet, the hopes and fears, we can easily forget that life was meant to be enjoyed. How do you think that faith can help people to embrace the present moment, regardless of what they may feel is missing in their life? And when I say faith, I want to maybe explain a little bit what I mean by that. Because we have in the audience people of all sorts of beliefs. And I always welcome anyone. And I always say, it's not, I personally call him God. Yeah. But I personally think it's not so important the name we put on what we believe in, but to come, you know, like remember, we all believe in something and that's what we have together. It's not so important to have the discussion about like, what do you call it? What do I call it? Is it better or not? But to say, okay, what connects all of us? There is something higher and we're just humans. And that higher force helps us through life and also makes life better. So that's just what I wanted to.
I love that you said, we are just humans. And yes. I think like, for me, I'm like, that nails it. Like we are just like, we're just humans. And I mean, as I've talked kind of in the, you know, throughout the podcast already, like I believe in like Jesus, like that is like, that's my guy. And so for me, like when we talk about how like life is not a puzzle to solve, but a gift to enjoy, or how I easily forget that life was meant to be enjoyed. I think my personal faith ties me to one who is a good gift giver. I have my friend told me a while ago, like she said this, and it's kind of changed my way of how I see God. But you know, when you have you ever gone like to try on shoes before, and they're like, and you have this size, they're like, oh no, but we have it in the back. You know, or you're at a restaurant or you're at the grocery store and you're like, hey, do you have any bananas? And it's like, well, there's more in the back. I'll go get them out. And she reminded me that our God is a God who says there's more in the back. Like he's good at first of all, surprising us, hearing us, being with us, but also filling our empty hands with good things. So there's always more in the back. And I think faith allows me to slow down, to walk a little slower, to believe that life is my friend, for me to be here, and to believe that there is more in the back, that I am not forgotten, that I'm not alone, that I am not just floating through this life, but that I am seen and known by a good God who cares for his children.
What a great analogy with the supermarket. It actually reminds me of this drawing, and you, I'm sure you probably have seen it. There's Jesus and a little girl. The little girl has a teddy bear in her hand, a quite small teddy bear. And he says, give me your teddy bear. And she's like, please not. And he has a huge, way bigger teddy bear behind his back.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's a little bit like how I see it as well. You know, sometimes it's a, it's a swap. And even if at the first, you're like, oh man, doesn't feel good. For me, my faith has, same as I guess I myself, has really evolved over the years. Like as a little child, you know, like we would do like our family prayers together in the evening, and we would read like the kids' Bible. But then I remember, like, I wasn't really reading the Bible afterwards. And my granddad, he got me, I think, 5 years in a row for my birthday, the Bible. And then there came a point when I said, granddad, do you not remember that you got me this the last year, the year before, and so on? He said, no, I do remember. I'm like, well, do you get like 10 for one? Or what's the reason that you're giving me so many Bibles? And he said, well, I'm hoping that one day you will start reading it. And still took a few, like, still went on and on and on. I did my prayers, but I didn't really read the Bible. And yeah, and then at some point I was like, I remember I was actually visiting my family in Salzburg, and I took the Bible and I opened it and I said to God, I personally think the Bible is like very complicated and it's like really complex. Like, how do I understand? Give me a little glimpse that and hope that I can understand it. And then it said, you know, keep knocking at the doors and your call will be answered. Mm-hmm. And I remember I was crying and I was like, okay, I'm coming home.
Yeah.
So I take like every day the time to read the Bible without expectation. And some days I'm like, okay, but most days, okay, that's really what my heart needed right now to comfort me or to give me that extra encouragement. And for example, the other day I was like, okay, give me a sign, like this new project we're doing, is it really going to pay off? Because some days, you know, I have my doubts. And then it said, there will be a day, there will be more fruits. There will be more fruits than you can ever harvest. And I thought, okay, that's the very clear sign.
I'll just keep going. I'll just keep trusting. I just keep believing.
I just keep trusting. So yeah. But what I wanted actually to say, other than the Bible, I had a friend, and I think I shared this before in the podcast. He's the son of a priest. And I said to him, how often do you pray? He was like, what do you mean? I'm like, well, 2 times, 3 times, 4 times. And he said, no, I pray all day.
Yeah.
And that's something that really changed, not just my relationship with God, but with myself. Because throughout the day, I'm coming home.
Yeah.
You know, wherever I am, I'm coming home. And I'm like, okay, this is stressing me out right now. I just have all these conversations, and it really helps me to process what I'm experiencing. And I'm much quicker with forgiveness and much quicker with like letting go and surrendering. And by far, like, I'm still obviously there's lots of room to improve, but I do feel it's like giving me so much.
Yeah. When you're connected to a good giver, everything seems to change.
This being said, everything and anything seems to be able to be changed. Can you please read your poem that I really would love for you to read? And we talked about that earlier.
This one's called Create Space. And it goes like this. When you begin to believe life is not the way it should be, may you create space. Create space for waiting. Create space for not knowing. Create space for change. Create space for therapy. Create space for mystery. Create space for prayer. Create space for grief. Create space for miracles. Create space for beauty. Create space for hope. Create space, for today is today, but today is not forever.
It's so beautiful.
Thanks.
It's so beautiful. And while you were reading it, I really felt like how everything is expanding. And I'm like, okay, we're creating space right now together. It's beautiful. And you wrote this poem before you had your child.
Yeah. Yeah.
I double checked the dates.
Well, I'll be honest. I haven't been able to write too much since he's arrived. So most everything was written before.
But I'm curious, even if it was like before that, how do you think this poem reflects your journey of him blessing your lives? And especially, what was the role of prayer? Because I know your journey was not easy.
Yeah, sure. So my wife and I, we were a couple of years ago during the pandemic, we were diagnosed with unexplained infertility. And that led us to adoption, which was, and that, you know, kind of goes back to our other, you know, parts of the conversation that we've already had, you know, how God is a good gift giver. Or we can even think about the teddy bear analogy, right? You know, we were holding on to what we thought our lives were going to look like. And behind his back, he had something even better than we could ever think or imagine. And a lot of that came down to, you know, trusting and surrendering and all the hard things of wrestling through. And so we entered the adoption process close to 2 years ago. And then 6 months ago, we got a phone call that we had been chosen to become parents. We were called on a Sunday morning that we had been chosen. He was born that night and he was home on Tuesday. So our world was, you know, some people get 9 months to prepare for a child. We had about 60 hours. It was very quick. It was like, whoa, let's walk a little slower. No, I didn't say that. I was like, let's get this stuff done. It was busy. But, you know, I love the connection that you made for me with this poem, you know, and our walk through the adoption process and through infertility and all that. It was really hard, you know, not being able to be where we wanted to be or to be in a role that we wanted to be in. You know, all we really wanted was to have a family while all the people around us seemed to be getting pregnant, starting families, having a child, having two children, having three children. And it was hard to watch that. It was hard to wrestle with the questions, with the wondering, with the grief, with not knowing, with waiting, with really everything that's kind of part of this poem. And I think the poem kind of moves from a place of, you know, it just kind of goes from waiting to not knowing to change to therapy to the mystery to prayer to grief, you know, and it's all kind of wrapped up into one big ball. But being on where I'm at now and having Judah home with us, like I look back on these words and I still stand by them. They're true. You know, I really lean into some lines more than the others, you know, create space for prayer. For us during that season, prayer often looked like one big honest exhale. It really looked like sitting with the silence. I did not have much to say because the grief was so loud. It was really just like, I would ask for people to pray for us because it was so hard for me not to, not not to pray, but more so like traditionally say a prayer, whereas I was the one that was speaking. I spent a lot of time just listening and being with God and not having anything to say because I had said it all. You know, I had said the same prayer of, you know, make it better or do what you only know how to do. Or help me to believe that everything is going to be okay. And he hears it all, even the silence, and he interprets it the way that it needs to be interpreted. So looking back on these words in the last couple of years, I would offer these words to anybody, especially that last line where for today is today, but today is not forever. Like change is coming and it might even be here. You know, I think one of the best pieces of advice I can give to, you know, anyone is to pay attention because he's revealing, and we just got to keep trusting.
I'm so deeply moved, which I already expected when I prepared this question.
Yeah.
First of all, thank you for sharing this because I know it's personal. I know you shared on Instagram, but I nevertheless always am very grateful for people to open their hearts very wide because it helps others that are feeling something similar to have hope and also know that they are not alone.
Right.
And also that things, as you said, will change.
Yeah.
What helped you and your wife to transition from the picture you had for your family to letting go of that and then receiving something new, you know, like where you're like, okay, we're not going to conceive the way we were thinking or not the pregnancy. Yeah. We accept that. Probably there was grief. And then like, okay, now we are open for a new plan.
Yeah. Well, I think time played a big role in that of the being pruned back or stripped down or creating space for there to be time for new roads to be paved, right? For us to travel down, to go in a new direction. And then enough space and time to kind of learn how to hold grief with one hand while holding out the other hand ready to receive what was next. Mm-hmm. If that makes sense. And to be honest, like I am so happy the way in which God worked and moved, and the way that he brought us to be a family. I mean, I love Judah so much and it's just the cool, like it is the honor of my life to be his dad. Scares me, but I love it. And I can see, and I hope he sees this too one day, of the way in which God orchestrated this, where it was like, this is the way that it was, that God had put it together. So I am just living in a world of thankfulness, recognizing and seeing and doing my best to hold this with hope, with love, with mercy, with gratitude, you know, and a lot of prayer. Now I have a lot of words to say to God. Before it was a lot of silence. Now I'm like, okay, there's this, and this. And also I would love to sleep. But it's just, I mean, it's like, it's just beautiful. It's all beautiful.
I'm grateful you mentioned that some seasons allow us to speak a lot, while some seasons like lead us into silence. And I think it's a little bit like nature, you know, like when you look at summer, everything is blooming. And then like autumn, the leaves start to fall. And then winter, there is nothing. Yeah. Unless you live in California.
That's true.
But I think also allowing ourselves to move through different seasons, whether it's in our relationship with ourselves, with our partners, with our work, with God. And sometimes all it needs is to be here, as you said earlier.
Yeah. Yep. Just to be right here.
It's
hard. I mean, sometimes it is the seasons that you are in or that you face. Like, it's just like, I think we don't say it enough, or maybe we do, and I just haven't been listening, but like, life is just hard. Like, it's just it's really hard. There's just a lot that's always going on, a lot of things that are changing, a lot of things just are not right or not as they should be. It's hard. And maybe sometimes just saying that it's hard helps take the next step.
It's so true. I remember when my grandmother passed away, the first time I said it out loud, it is so hard. I even remember saying it like 10 times in a row. I was like, this makes it much easier because I acknowledge it. And it doesn't make it easy, but it makes it lighter around the heart and the shoulders and everything. And Tanner, I'm wondering, you have a gorgeous dog called Pancake. How has your dog helped you through that season of life?
So we brought Pancake home the day the pandemic started. So he's a bougie dog. He's a golden doodle. And we got a golden doodle because I'm allergic to dogs, which is very cruel. But he's going to bark here right in a minute.
It's so funny that he literally went now.
Right on time, buddy. Good boy. He's losing it. There's a car, a UPS truck stopped right in front of our house. And so there's just no stopping him now. Yeah. All right, bud. We got it. Thanks, Pancake. All gone. No more. Thanks, buddy. I'm the only one home right now. So he's just, he's our therapy dog. But we brought him home the day the pandemic started. And that was kind of around the same time that we found out about, we were, you know, diagnosed with unexplained infertility. And it was just a really, really hard season, but he helped, you know, the two of us become a family. And I've heard people say before, they're like, you know, when we brought Judah home, they're like, you're not going to call Pancake the big brother, are you? And I was like, absolutely I am.
Of course.
He certainly is. Yes. But I mean, he was the one who, you know, he was there for us through it all. He brought my wife closer together. He also got us out of the house. He got us walking. He got us, you know, grief is one of those things that it is hard. You can't really explain it, but you learn after a while of how to walk with it, how to dance with it, how to carry it with you. And having Pancake with us helped us move our bodies. He helped us laugh. He helped us think. He helped us cry. He helped us do all the things. I mean, like, the day that God created dogs, top five day of the world. Like, he knew what he was doing. He knew exactly what he was doing. I mean, it's just there. It's, you know, they are our best friends for a reason. I love Pancake. Even when he barks.
But it was the perfect timing. I'm so glad he did that.
Me too.
I always love hearing the stories of our guests that they share when they got their dog and like what was happening around that time or also afterwards. And I think it's the proof that every animal in our life has a purpose and comes with the purpose, because there is not even like a coincidence in timing when we get them or when they find us. And they are, every single dog is a therapy dog.
Yes.
Like, absolutely. Yeah. And I'm not saying unpaid, because they do get treats and food, free rent and everything.
Yeah.
But they are therapy dogs. And also, I think it just shows, it doesn't need words to comfort and also to help heal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Dogs are good at being dogs. I was gonna say they're really good at being who God created them to be. You know, it's God wastes nothing. And you know, certainly dogs just, I don't know, for me, Pancake has taught me a lot about patience, a lot about myself, a lot about slowing down, but also like just be where you are. Mm-hmm. Like, and I mean, a dog is very trusting, and I want to trust God the way that Pancake trusts me, you know?
That's so good. I love that. Yeah. It's so true. They show us when their trust was broken, like let's say for rescue dogs, for example, mm-hmm. you know, they went for like really heartbreaking phases of their lives. They are willing to trust again, you know, like they let you in again. And obviously it takes time, but I just think dogs in particular are really the proof of the reward when we open our hearts.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Yeah. And two questions.
Yes.
Why Pancake, the name? And also, what has he taught you? Because you said he's taught you a lot about yourself. What are like mm-hmm. some of the things that he has taught you?
So the name Pancake, it comes from a poem that I had written back in 2017. It's a poem that's titled Welcome. And so it's one poem that I perform at every show. But in it, it says, you know, and late last night, I was sent a gif or a jiff while half asleep next to the other hole of me. And she couldn't see me giggling under the sheets as I watched a dog run into a glass door over and over and over and over. We had talked about getting a dog of our own, and we will name him Pancake. So I kind of spoke that into existence. A long time ago. And then when we were looking for dogs, I was like, we wanted a golden doodle. And so we went and picked him up, and he was, you know, there were about 7 or 8 dogs sitting together, and they were like, all right, pick out your dog. And I picked up the first dog I picked up. I looked at him and I said, Pancake. And he popped his head up and I said, all right, bud, let's go home. So amazing. That was him. Yeah, like I said, he's just taught me a lot about being a patient person who trusts that everything is going to be okay. And he's also shown me like every room he goes in, he thinks that he belongs. Like he's just like, this is, of course I'm supposed to be here. And of course you want me here. I'm always somebody who like, I'm nervous to enter into rooms where I don't know anybody. I don't like knocking on doors but he has shown me like, you know, you belong and you can believe that. Yeah.
That's so beautiful. If you would write a new poem about Pancake, what title would it have?
Do you want a serious title or a joke? Like if it was a joke title. I would say, please stop.
Is that the title?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. But I think if it was a serious title, I would, you know, something like Welcome Home. Welcome Home.
Aww. That's beautiful.
Yeah, I think that's what, you know, that like he is. Yeah. Because he is, he kind of exemplifies those words. Yeah. I just love this dog.
I can see and I can feel that. And to wrap up our conversation on a really funny note, what is something Pancake does that embarrasses himself?
Oh, this dog will hump anything. So yeah, he just goes for it. And it's just after a while, you're like, okay, bud, we just got to stop doing this. So I don't know if you want to cut that out of the podcast, but that's just his thing.
When he's
really needy or when he really has to go to the bathroom, he's like, just show me the closest leg and I will make sure you let the door, you know? So yeah, we can't figure out, haven't been able to train that out of him. And I don't think that we're going to make that happen. So now it's just laughable. And yeah, that's his thing. But we've taught him to do a couple of our favorites. So he has a couple of his tricks. Before he eats, we do like high fives. So he'll just jump up and give us a high five. We do a little hug, a little kiss, and then we say our prayers. Aww. And so when we say amen, that's his cue to bark.
That's amazing.
Yeah. Yeah, he's a fun guy. He's a fun guy.
I love that. Yeah, I also pray with Felix before he gets his dinner. He needs to wait. And then I say, okay. And then he's like, okay, great.
Okay, great. Wonderful.
That is so funny. I love that. Yeah, some dogs just have different ways of showing their love, right?
He has no idea what he is doing, but he knows he is doing it. And I'll be honest, he gives it 100%. So that's all you can ask for.
You're hilarious.
Yeah. Oh my God. It's a fun, he's great. The thing I love about him is he just like, you know, he does a good job of connecting us with other people too. And he gives us something to talk about always. I mean, yeah, it's good. But
Well, now that we wrap up our conversation, I can break it to you. I invited you because of him.
Well, there's so many times like when I go and perform somewhere, I will be introduced as Pancake's dad. Because people are just like, people are like, I like your dog more than I like you. And I can't blame them. I can't. So if I could do a tour where I take Pancake with me to like an evening of poetry and Pancake, I think that would be a hit.
Oh, yeah. Sold out. Oh, I've probably been traveling across the country for that.
All right. I'm going to do it. Next year, poetry and Pancake.
Okay, don't forget to send me an invite. Tanner, thank you so much for this conversation. It was even greater than I expected it to be. It filled my heart with a lot of hope and also courage to walk a little slower. Mm-hmm. And to always believe today is not forever and things will change. And just thank you so much for sharing your time with us and your insights and also your humor. And also say thank you to Pancake. Don't forget that. Yes. And yeah, I'm sure we'll have you again on the show because that was See?
Yep. Yep. He's Pancake saying thanks agreed. For having us. Are you saying thank you, Pancake? All right. Well, I guess I got to go. Thank you so much for having me. It means so much. Thank you.
It's a wrap for today, everyone. Thanks for tuning in. Please share this episode with anyone you love, anyone you want to like provide and give hope. And don't forget to tag Tanner and us. Send us a DM if you have more questions. We'd love to hear from you. And we'll see you next Wednesday.